Are recording. Thank you. Welcome back to each of you. We have just taken a short break and we apologize for the immediate shutdown. Our attorney would like to address that.
Thank you. Yes, apologies, everyone. We had an unexpected sharing of screen, an impermissible one. So we've identified that person who made unauthorized use, and we have disabled their access to the webinar. Moving forward, members of the public will not have access to interact with the district until they are called on, once they identify themselves and are called on during the public comment section. And then I would just remind any members of the public, if any remaining here, of the decorum that is required for participation in this meeting moving forward, and that we'd ask that you refrain from anything that is offensive. Thank you.
Thank you, Wallace. So we will, we have adjourned the public hearing. And we are moving forward now with our regular calendar for Oral Loma Sanitary. Item 6 is a consent calendar, which you can see includes items 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, 6.4, 6.6, actually through 6.5. Does anyone wish to remove anything from the calendar? I don't see anyone asking to remove anything. Director Duncan?
I'd like to just emphasize to the board the importance of them reading the
all of the meeting reports.
Right, but specifically, you know, because we're going to be meeting with Stop Waste, the smart truck MOU, and as well as the oh God, I can't even think of it right now. The contract with waste management. So we are real well prepared to, you know, ask questions, and we understand the documents, and to make the interaction as smoothly as possible.
Thank you. I'm sorry, it is on our agenda this evening. Oh,
okay. All right. Good enough.
Thank you. Any other comments?
No, the reason I said it is that it was part of our solid waste meeting. So,
yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Director Duncan. Director Dilley?
I would like to move the entire consent calendar if there's no objections.
Well, let's get the motion on the floor and then you can have a comment. Director Simon, are you going to second that?
Yes.
All right. Director Dean, you have a comment.
I would like to comment a little bit on the minutes from the financial meeting. Am I allowed to do that this time?
Yes.
Right now, you have to report there's, if any of these items need to be from the consent session. So if you'd like to have a discussion, you can request of that particular item.
I can't hear.
He's asking for the financial meeting to be pulled from the agenda for discussion. So would the maker of the motion on the
so I will amend my motion to exclude 6.4 because that is going to be pulled.
Motion and the second have approved the amendment of pulling the financial report. Thank you both. And shall we vote? The financial meeting report.
Item 6.4 is being pulled.
I don't think I used statements. I said report.
The F&I committee. Yes.
So I have a motion on the floor to approve the consent calendar with the exception of items 6.3 minutes of the F&I committee. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We had to do roll call, I believe.
Oh, sorry. Roll call, please.
Director Simon. Director Dean.
Yeah.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
President Young.
Aye. Now, Director Dean. It's late already. Your concern about the financial report? Or your question, I'm sorry.
Yes, I did attend that meeting, and I was unable to speak because I was the third board member there. And I really still don't understand this invoice that we have That's for 2 months, 9:25 to 10 to 10:31:25. That was 16 hours a day of work, and I just and I it was explained to us as 14 hours a day. That still seems like how is that possible? I don't really understand how 14 hours a day was worked during that time, and I just feel like I have to say it. And it was explained to us as training and calling people and things like that. So I guess my question is, who was getting trained and when were they getting trained? And do we have records here at the office that show? And I know you're thinking I'm stepping over, I'm micromanaging, but this is a big issue for me to 14 or 16 hours a day to be billed for 2 months. Is do we have records here that show who was getting trained during those 16 hours a day? Do we have deliverables? That's who are the people? When were they getting trained? What kind of deliverables? Because back in a long time ago, when we looked at the contract with BTL and we saw that we were only getting things that may be done, like things were not spelled out for us, and we're still getting that. And I thought we had met with our counsel, and we had directed our general manager to get actual invoices about what actually happened, not sample activities. And so I just really would like those questions answered. Did we? It seems like I think we did ask for that, and that didn't happen. We still were getting sample activities, and who was being trained, and when were they being trained, and how does someone work 14 hours a day when they have children? I it just makes no sense to me. So I'd really like an explanation.
As we discussed in the F&I committee, what you see in front of you, the invoice, are the detailed invoices. You're saying that these are sample activities. These are not sample activities. These invoices that are embedded in the F&I committee minutes and agenda are the actual invoices with actual activities and the hours accounted for that. As far as people that are being trained, it is our administrative services manager who took over the solid waste program. She's the one that was being trained. As far as deliverables go, we have countless meetings on the books for training. We have a file structure on our server that shows all the work that was put into it. We have an Excel spreadsheet that shows every path, everything that you could possibly need for a successful transition of a program that is very high value to the district, which also requires a lot of time and dedication to be able to make that transfer and transition successfully.
So then my next question is, so if we had all this training, how come we still didn't know if the new person got trained on the franchise agreement, which should have been a big part of her training? So that's because that's a big part of her job. How come we still didn't know the schools had to pay before they got it? If they didn't have a program that was compliant, they were supposed to be paying. How come we didn't know that? How come our new person didn't know that? How come our new person didn't know about the stuff with the person that works for waste management? So it just seems strange to me that someone trained someone, but we the new person still didn't know that. So I'm sorry that I have to bring this up, but I feel I have to. So, if somebody wants to speak to that, how you train a person, but they don't know what's in the contract, I'd like to hear that.
I'm so bad at this technology. Has Director Dean, if I may just remind the board that the item that's on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the committee meeting. And I'm afraid that this may venture into a discussion of specific subject within the jurisdiction of this board. And if that's the case, that might require a future agenda item. So I just want to remind you of the scope of this agenda item.
How many hours were spent training? So this is about training.
No, I'm sorry, if I can clarify. What's before the board on the consent calendar is approval. Right. So you can have a separate discussion necessary for the approval of the minutes. That's the item that is subject to approval here, right? Item 6.3?
Yes.
Right. So you can ask clarifying questions that are necessary to ultimately approve the minutes. But if the discussion ventures into subject matter of the actual discussions of the committee meeting, that may provide a that may require a future agenda item. I'm just trying to draw your focus narrowly on what's agendized so that the discussions can happen appropriately.
So if I disagree with the amount of time, do I vote no?
You may, yes, if you believe the minutes are not reflective.
All right. And then at the end of this meeting, do I get a three thumbs up to discuss this further? Is that what I need to do?
If there is further discussion, it has to happen at the appropriately agendized meeting.
So she got three thumbs up.
Oh,
Yes.
agendize it. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for clarifying. Yes, you can make that request.
Thank you.
Director Duncan has a comment on the same item.
Oh,
Director
yeah,
Duncan.
but since it's going to be agendized, I don't need to. And I know that's not a real word. Since
No,
it's
it's
going,
not.
I know this is going to be put on the a future agenda based on Director Dean's comments. I don't have a comment at this time. I will make my comments when it's on the agenda.
Thank you. Then I would be looking for a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
So moved.
Minutes
6.3,
of the
6.3
F&I committee to
minutes in
approve.
FNI.
Being submitted. Question, do they need to be approved now? Can they?
Yes, they do, so that Director Dean may vote her way. We're just approving the minutes. That's all we're doing as to what happened at the meeting itself, not the content of the meeting, just the meeting minutes. May I second these? Can the convener of the meeting second the motion?
If you've invited the motion and no one has
A
seconded,
motion.
you
I need a second.
yes, under formal rules of Robert's Rules of Order, you'd have to relinquish your
Yes, I
seat for
know.
the moment. Yes.
Director Duncan, are you comfortable seconding the motion to approve the minutes as presented?
And are we accepting the data, which is part of the
Oh, I
minutes?
said we're only approving the minutes of the meeting as the meeting was presented to you. You're on the committee.
Well, yeah,
So,
but I had questions within the meeting, but I will approve it so we can discuss the issues that we have at another agenda.
thank you. So I have a motion and a second. We need a roll call vote, please, to approve the minutes as presented. Yes.
Question.
My clarifying question is, I understand Director Dean is choosing, per the attorney's feedback, just so I understand, to not, you can vote no on it because you don't agree with what's in the report. So she's.
Was at the meeting. Her questions have to do with the content of the meeting, not the minutes themselves. Is that correct, Mimi?
Well, no, because the minutes clearly show that all these hours were spent. But if the hours were spent, how come the person doesn't know these
Did they
things?
discuss that at the meeting?
Yes. Can I speak?
Yes,
Because
please. Please.
I said that I was not comfortable and I did not ex I my perception of the information that was presenting in the meeting was different than what was presented. That is what I said, and that I needed time to look at the documents because I was not comfortable with what was presented. And Chair Lee can remember I said that.
Oh, I think we have a motion on the floor. We either need to vote on it or pass on it. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Director Simon.
Abstain.
Director Dean.
No.
Secretary Duncan.
No.
Vice President Lee.
Yes.
And President Young.
Yes. So the motion fails. What does that mean now for the minutes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Agendize part of, there could be a request to agendize this for a future discussion to review those notes and make amendments as needed for approval.
May I make a comment because, you know,
yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was at the meeting and I made comments on this just as well, right? It was not just only training. There's also file management because they have to reconsolidate all the files. I know a lot of files can happen in the amount of time that she was working for us. I just looked on my laptop, right? And I actually, in the last 3 years, I generated 12,000 files, right? Not everybody's going to understand it. That's one of the things that takes a lot of time to organize. I was surprised it could be done in 2 months. Training was just only part of it. And honestly, when you talk about training, I could be training somebody on a lot of stuff. They're not going to remember everything.
Yeah, I really do. But you now are talking content of the meeting as well.
Right.
So it appears that we need to place the minutes on the agenda again for the month of March. And perhaps between now and then, Ms. Dean could have a private meeting with the general manager to learn more about her concerns. And we'll still bring it back to the meeting in March. Is that acceptable to you?
No, I
you don't want to bring it back in March?
No, I want to bring back a discussion of how someone works 16 hours a day and all that stuff.
I understand your concern.
But I don't think meeting with our general manager is going to help me.
That's fine. You don't have to meet with him. But what we're doing is we have to put the minutes back on the agenda because we didn't approve them. So the minutes have to come back in March anyway. So at that time, we can put on the agenda a further deep dive discussion. Is that what you want to do?
Into not only, yes, into many items that I saw in that agenda, yes.
So do I need a motion for that?
There you go.
Yes, what?
I don't think she's asking, she's not asking about the minutes, she's asking about something separate.
What she's asking about, but it's in the minutes.
No, I get it, but what she's asking is not in the, it's what is not what we discussed. So I think what she's asking is to put on the agenda something separate.
Whatever she will ask for at the end of this meeting will be different from what I'm suggesting right now. Mm-hmm. What I'm suggesting is the minutes have to be approved at some point because the meeting took place and we just voted on them and the majority vote was no, even though I believe abstention goes with the positive, does it not? I'm not asking, I'm asking the attorney. An abstention vote is, from what I recall of Robert's rules, goes with the yes vote.
I actually have.
Abstention is by nature abstention. It counts as neither a yes or no. So independently, it would not be a tiebreaker.
Okay. Yeah. So then, what are we doing here? I'm totally confused.
Yeah, it's if they come back in March, right? Consent is still going to be at the top. So,
well, in
like
March,
no matter what meeting
in March, you will have two financial F&I reports to be approved.
10th only. We don't have any.
Whatever.
Yeah, I would separate this. So what was before the board was a motion to approve the minutes. My understanding is that has failed because there is a question as to the content of the minutes. So technically that just fails and it doesn't have to come back before the board. as a procedure, minutes generally do have to be approved at some point. So for the meeting that occurred in February, there should be some direction to staff on what needs to be addressed so we can present this back in March for the approval of the February meeting minutes. Separately, if Director Dean has an issue that she would like to be discussed from this meeting, as a separate agenda item, she can make that request today to agendize that. But I would caution the board to separate those two directions of the board. One is to approve the minutes. The other is to have a substantive discussion about the content from that committee.
Yeah. Any direction on how to change F&I committee minutes so that they are approvable? Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Director Simon has a...
Yes, Director Simon.
Can those minutes come back at any time? They can come back in April if they need to. So if we handle Director Dean's request for more detailed discussion for the three thumbs up later, we do that sometime in March, we get this resolved. Can the meetings come back at any time?
I would have to look at the district's rules to make sure there's nothing that states that otherwise. But again, caution to separate the approval of the minutes and then a substantive content of things that came out of that committee.
I mean, from where I'm sitting, if we're approving the minutes as the meeting was held, even though some of the content in the meeting may have been misinterpreted, we're still approving what happened at that meeting. Then we can discuss Director Dean's comments at a separate agenda item next month. Does that make sense to Director Simon? And Director Duncan? Because what happened at the meeting happened, whether you approved it or not, or whether you liked it or not. The minutes are reflective of what happened at the meeting, are they not?
That clearly, because if the minutes reflect that my perception of what was presented was different, what the general manager presented was different, and on my perception of the invoices, if the minutes do not reflect that, that's an issue.
Mr. Dang, you have a comment?
Yes, so the minutes are a reflection of the discussion that took place at the meeting. In here, it clearly states that Director Duncan stated that she would need additional time to review the spreadsheet and would bring her questions to the concerns back to the committee. Does that reflect the discussion that took place at the minute at the meeting?
Yes.
Right. So we're talking about whether or not this conversation, what we documented in these meetings, is what took place in the meeting, not necessarily whether or not the data is valid or anything like that. It's what was discussed. Did this person say this? Did this person say this? That's what we're trying to approve as far as minutes go.
If you disagreed with the content, if you disagreed that it reflected the content of the meeting, you could vote against approving the minutes. I'm sorry if I confused you. Again, the item that's before the board is just approving that the minutes reflect the discussions that occurred during the February committee meeting. That motion has been presented to the board, voted on, and it has failed. This item, we haven't moved past it. If someone believes that we could approve these minutes with an amendment, the chair is welcome to open up to a second motion. If not, then this fails and we move on.
Anybody willing to change their motion? I mean, I don't understand if the minutes reflect your concerns, Ms. Duncan, then the minutes actually reflect what happened at the meeting. There's no reason why we can't approve them and move on and then let Director Dean bring up her issue at the end of the meeting to bring back for an agenda item next month.
Is that all of the, and that would include all of the information from the minutes? Because that's the issue, is the interpretation of what was presented to us. And I guess, you know, I'm not putting words in her mouth, but I guess the other issue around that is that, you know, there's no deliverables, you know, no hard, I mean, we were giving in the meeting, we were given sample of what could have occurred. And that was my issue. But I guess, you know, I'm just thinking out loud. To your point, Director Young, I will say that what is documented in the minutes is what happened in the minutes is correctly documented. Now, whether or not the documents that were provided made sense, I guess that's a different issue.
I think you made my point directly. So can we amend the motion to approve the F&I minutes as they were presented, including all the comments that Director Duncan made in the minutes? Yes, Director Simon.
I just want to ask a question because I wasn't there. Can I ask a question to Director Dean? Like Director Duncan is saying, is what's presented in these meeting minutes, even though you may not agree with the content, what was presented in that meeting?
Director Duncan just said it was.
Well, Director Duncan said it, but...
No, well, but Director...
I'm just asking.
She was present. She was not... She didn't participate in the discussion.
But the question you're asking me is, do these minutes reflect what happened in the meeting?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Okay, so can we get an amended motion to approve the minutes as presented? Director Lee or Director Simon?
I'll let them make the motion and I'll second.
I'll do an amended motion.
Thank you, Director Simon. And Director Lee has a second. Can we get a roll call vote, please, to approve the minutes as presented?
Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yep.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
And President Young.
I almost feel like abstaining. Yes. All right. Well, we're all the way on to item 7 and it's only 7 o'clock. I will tell you right now that I will not be here at 10 o'clock tonight. So if we have to move some of these items to a next meeting, we're going to do that.
Well, it's 10 o'clock where I am.
And it's closing in on 10 or 11 o'clock at her time already. So we'll move to item 7.1, authorization for the GM tech skin agreement with BACC Active Coding Inspection Services for the Primary Clarifier Project. Mr. Dang.
We have a primary clarifier capital project that is currently will be starting construction relatively soon here. And part of that project is recoding our primary clarifiers, stripping off all the existing coatings and recoding through a 3-step process. And we always provide inspections for all the construction work that's out there. Coding inspections is a specialty inspection service, and we typically hire a company that only specializes in coding inspections. BCC is extremely well known in the industry as a leader in inspection services for this type of work. We have used them in the past. And so today we're asking the board if we could execute an agreement with BACC in the amount of $122,000 for the inspection services of this capital project.
Thank you. Questions? Comments? I would entertain a motion to approve.
Director Lee, so moved.
Second.
Director. Oh, roll call, please. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I don't see any public members here. Is there any public comment on this issue? Hearing none. Roll call vote, please.
Certainly. Director Simon.
Yes.
Director Dean.
Yes.
Secretary Duncan.
Aye.
Vice President Lee.
Aye.
And President Young.
Aye.
Moving on to item 8, board discussion. Discussion of First Amendment to Solid Waste Collection Services Agreement Smart Truck Program. Mr. Dang.
As part of our SB 1383 requirement, part of the requirement is to make sure that we audit our routes and for contamination and so forth. And what's required by Cal Recycling SB 1383 is that at least 25 customers per route get audited for contamination. The district has entered into agreement with Waste Management to adopt their smart truck technology, which, as you know, has cameras on the trucks themselves, which monitor and essentially audit all customers, not just 25 customers per route. And that's how we're able to meet the requirement for audit for SB 1383. So this agreement here was entered into place on September 1st of 2023. And it's a 3-year agreement, which also auto renews on September 1st of 2026. Today we're having a discussion that came through Solid Waste as well, is to look at this agreement and see if there's any suggestions or changes or anything that the board is interested in exploring with WM going forward before we decide to renew this agreement to use the smart truck technology for our district and the customers.
Question.
Duncan, go ahead.
So what is the action? What are you requesting?
I'm asking for input from the board on any changes they would like to see in the agreement that we could propose to WM and have that further discussion with them on what you would like to see changed on with the smart truck contract. That could be in the contract. There's rates in there, charges in there. There's a charge schedule. We talk about how many times people get warnings. We talk about, there's a lot in there with related to the smart truck program itself. So staff is looking for what the board desires for us to begin that discussion with WM.
Has this been discussed at any committee?
Just in Solid Waste.
Well, I know we didn't discuss the details inside right. The contract.
We brought the contract to the Solid Waste Committee and we asked the same question. Correct. You said send it to the board.
I'll recall. Do you have more, Director Duncan?
No, I guess I'm not ready to make any comments. I'm. Period. Is this the only time I can provide any corrections or any recommendations for changes?
No, if the board decides they want to move this to another meeting, we can always do that. Just that when we do that, it just gets closer and closer to September 1st.
Move it, right. Director Duncan. We can maybe have it come back to Solid Waste again and make some recommendations and bring it back to the board. We still have time.
Okay, because my other piece to it is that I'm really interested in what's WM is going to present to us in March, you know, how that balances out with the smart truck, you know, the services that they're going to share with us. You know, I don't know what they're going to share with us, but they are supposed to come and make a presentation to the board. And I'm just wondering how does the smart truck contract balances with what WM is going to present to us.
So the WM is going to present their scope of services, what they're providing to the district related to their contract, which does include the smart truck. So they will be providing those details to the board at that meeting. So perhaps moving this item to after that board workshop would be beneficial to the board.
Yes.
Okay. If I can get agreement from the board, staff can do that.
They agree with that? I think it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Director Simon, your comment?
Yeah, I agree with moving it, but I have a question. Just in terms of, this may or may not be in the scope of this, but the truck, if you're talking about smart trucks, I've mentioned this before. I think we could do a lot more use out of these trucks as far as advertisement on what we're trying to accomplish, educating people. They're rolling billboards. Can we incorporate using those trucks as to get information out as a billboard in this agreement?
Absolutely. Ask the question at the March workshop directly to WM. Absolutely.
Okay. Is there any way we can, so they're not surprised by that, so they can be prepared? Can we get that comment to them in advance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I would like to get that comment to them if the board would agree. Because I think it's really important. Okay.
Actually, in was it last week's meeting, I was talking about data. I'd like to find out what are some of the data potentials that we can get from these smart trucks. Maybe that's something that we're unaware of. If we have some better understanding of some of the capabilities of what it collects in data. Well, I don't want anything that obviously the data has to be anonymized, but whatever data that we can get that actually will help us improve our program.
Okay. Anything else? So without objection, then I asked if there was anything else. Director Dean? No, I didn't skip you. He raised his hand. I didn't see anything. For
I have to raise my hand these days?
Director Dean, if you have comments, please go ahead and make them.
All right. So here's my big first question. How does this agreement with these trucks tie into the fact that we learned the other night, or shall I say I learned the other night, that just having three bins makes you in compliance? Is that related to this smart truck technology at all?
No,
because
it's not.
We're it talks about fining people and charging people. But if the only thing they have to do is have a bin, then actually they're in compliance, aren't they?
Correct. By providing customers with the service and making sure our customers subscribe to the service means we're complying with that part of SB 1383. There's another part of SB 1383 that requires jurisdictions to have an audit monitoring program. You have to audit 25 customers per route. In the past, before smart trucks were presented to the district, and how it was done in the past, especially even currently with other jurisdictions that don't have smart trucks, is they send people out to actually flip lids and look at 25 customers per route during the year to try to comply with that requirement. So this truck basically does that job of that manual labor of a person walking and doing an actual visual audit themselves.
Oh, I understand that. What I'm trying to get at is, so we're in compliance if they have three bins, but the people are not in compliance if they don't sort, but I'm just trying to understand how that
there's,
works.
SB 1383 has multiple requirements. It's not just that.
I understand that.
Okay, so this is another part of that. This is the audit piece. So by having Smart Truck, it complies with the fact that we are going to audit, or Waste Management is auditing their customers. That's it.
How does the education piece fit in with this?
I'm sorry, if we're going to discuss this item now, we need to discuss it. If we're going to move it,
right, let's move it
beyond the March meeting, where we can ask the same questions, Ms. Dean, of Waste Management themselves at our March workshop. That's what Rita was referring to by getting that piece on board before we try to tackle this contract. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and I think this absolutely should be looked at more thoroughly by the solid waste team. You know, the committee.
Precisely what.
Yeah. Yeah.
We will. But we'll also bring it back to this board after the workshop in March, where you can ask your questions of Waste Management as well. Okay. Does that make sense to everybody else? So we will move this item to an agenda following the March workshop, whatever the plan is for that. Okay. Then item 8.2 is board participation in the San Leandro Cherry Festival. Director Simon, this is your request. You want to discuss it?
Yes. The San Leandro Downtown Association reached out to me and asked if we could participate. And I explained to them why we were off the list, because unincorporated we would switch off to an incorporated area. And a proposal came up that if it's a staff issue, and perhaps, and I thought about this, I think you may have mentioned it.
They approached me as well.
Director Young, perhaps we as board members could be at the booth. And then the issue of booth costs came up. And my understanding is Waste Management, if we got on the list, Waste Management would attend, they would have a booth, and we could just sit there and participate with them and maybe bring a banner, bring a few handouts. So that's what I would like to propose, that San Leandro Cherry Festival be added back to the list, however, with no staff support. Just
I have a question for you. Do you have personal knowledge that Waste Management plans to be at the Cherry Festival? Because I don't think they go unless we are there. They haven't in the past.
My understanding is if it's on the list, that means we're going.
Well, board. You and I and the rest of the board can go.
Yes.
But we can't command Waste Management to be there. That's not part of their contract.
Correct. I understand. But my understanding is if we get on a list, understanding that staff will not support, because that's above and beyond the
of 18
right
events.
But we as board members could volunteer our time at the Cherry Festival to sit at the booth with Waste Management if they're there. If they don't show up, then
what is your plan if they don't show up?
If they don't show up, then we can't participate, because
we could literally take the Orloma's booth, the umbrella. And the five of us could be there without Waste Management.
We could do that, yes.
We can't command each one of us to be there either, but we can plan it.
Yes, we could.
If that's what you want to do.
Yes, I'd be willing to work together with my colleagues to do that if Waste Management does not show up. Now, there is I don't know if there's a fee to participate and all that.
Oh, there is, yeah.
So if there is a fee,
yes,
that's a whole nother story. But my understanding is if we get on the list, Waste Management. No, I haven't talked to Waste Management.
Right. See, that's the key.
But my recommendation, let's get on the list and see what happens.
Well, getting on the list, what do you mean by getting on the list?
Let's get the Cherry Festival back on the Orloma's list of events to attend, with a notation that no staff support.
And there will be no reason to put it on that list. We'll just put it on the board's list. I mean,
it needs to be on a publicly available list so that Waste Management can see that we will be there, or Loma will be there.
Director Duncan?
I have a question. Typically, to participate in these events, whether it's Cherryland or Castro Valley, you have to pay funds. So if we get on the list without WM, what is the fee for us to get on the list?
Good question. You and I have done these events where there was no staff support.
Right.
If you recall, we did Washington Manor. I knew that would bring a smile to your face. Ms. Duncan and I and Howard Kerr did a public event at Washington Manor years ago with just the umbrella, and it was quite the show.
Yes, it was.
But so, anyway.
So let me finish. Director Simon, I'm in support of us, being present at as many events as we can, but I'm also in support of us leveraging that presence, to make sure that we represent Orloma to the best of our ability. And if we can attend the event and not have to pay the $10,000, or I don't know how much it is, I'm okay with that. But if we have to pay some more money for that, I'd like for you to come back and let us really figure out how to make it really worth whatever money that we have to pay, and us not just showing up.
My proposal is to add Ora Loma attending the Cherry Festival, adding it to the Ora Loma list of events. So I guess it would be 19 now. However, it would be clear that staff is not supporting it. And I'm not recommending we pay fees to the Cherry Festival. I'm recommending we join with Waste Management. If Waste Management decides to join, if they decide not to join, we can reassess because we have time.
How are we going to find out if Waste Management is going to attend?
We can find out. Patricia?
The staff can ask.
Yeah, yes. I'll find out as well. But yes, please, staff can ask. I'm trying to keep it simple.
I know you are, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, they have committed to joining us at Fall Festival, so they have told us that they will not be doing Cherry Festival this year, but they will be with us at Fall Festival.
That's different than the information that I was told, but I didn't talk to them. This is my...
And we did reach out to Virginia Harrington, and who is Perla's supervisor. Typically, Perla is the one who provides support alongside us at tabling events. So we did ask the question, and we're told that they were not going to be participating. But yeah, perhaps your contact could clarify with her, or you can send them our way so we can get clarification.
Okay, just to move this along and not bring it back a bunch of times, I recommend we add it to the list of our Ora Loma list that we will attend without staff support, contingent upon Waste Management attending. And if we get, once we're on the list, and if they confirm once again that they're not attending, then we've done all we can do.
This list is a list of 18 events that our staff is supporting. So, it shouldn't, I think you're asking to add it to a different list, not a staff list, because what's the purpose of adding something where it's not going to be staff supported when it's a staff list?
I'm not saying it's a staff list, it's an Ora Loma list.
It's actually the manager's list. It's requirement for him to attend. Isn't that what it is, Mr. Dang?
It's a requirement for staff.
For staff to attend.
Correct.
Can you recommend a way for us to deal with this? Maybe just put it back on the agenda next month?
Well, it sounds like what I'm hearing from Director Simon is if Waste Management doesn't show up, that the board can still go out there with the Ora Loma.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
No money.
And
what I'm indicating is if we're on a list, my understanding is Waste Management knows that there is commitment from Ora Loma attending.
Ora Loma board attending.
And they would reconsider and may come to the Cherry Festival. So all I'm asking tonight is if we can add Ora Loma board attending the Cherry Festival to the list as number 19. This could be a special asterisk or something. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. To be intending and to put Ora Loma on a list means there's a financial commitment to paying for the Cherry Festival.
No, I'm saying we would partner with Waste Management. No financial commitment to the district, except for our volunteered board time.
Can I ask?
Share with the, I see your hand. I don't see the little yellow raised hand, but I see your hand.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Director Duncan.
Okay. Director Samin, I know what you're trying to do, but can you get clarification from whoever you spoke to?
That's precisely what I was getting ready to ask him.
And then, because I have no problem with, as a board member, being out there for the Cherry Festival, but I'm unclear on WN's position except for what Patricia said. If you spoke to someone else different, if you get that clarification, then I have no issue of us putting it on our calendar and not on the staff calendar for the board to attend, provided we don't have to pay any money.
Okay. Well, I can... it sounds like the board does not want it on the list, the staff list. It would be some
put it on our own individual calendars, though. Do you mind bringing it back one more time?
Yeah, no, that's
clarify
fine. Yes.
What you have learned.
Yes, I can get some more. I will get confirmation of what waste management intentions are, at least through my
contact. From whoever your contact is.
Right.
And find out from the city of San Leandro the charge for having a booth if it's just the board. Can you do that?
Yes.
I just had a question. It'd probably be easier for Director Simon just to provide the WM contact that he spoke to.
I don't have a WM contact. I'm talking to the San Leandro Downtown Association contact.
They have more information that they can share with you. Director Duncan? Dean, I'm sorry, Dean. It's late. So Dean.
Mm-hmm. What is my
donuts?
I was wondering, did we ever actually finalize our approval of that list of 18? I thought it was supposed to have more details on it or something.
We have a whole list with a whole spreadsheet. We got that last meeting.
Oh, that long one. That's right. I remember. Okay.
Pages, right.
Okay.
Waste management will be at Fall Festival.
Excellent.
Okay, then we will.
Question: when does the board want staff to put this on the agenda?
The next meeting we have.
The next meeting, okay, that's March 10th.
Right, because we will need that information, and I have a follow up question for Mr. Simon. If we do not make an appearance at the Cherry Festival, are we going to be in the Cherry Parade? Okay, we'll answer that question next time. Whew. All right, so you have your instruction, Mr. Simon. Thank you. All right, we shall move on then to the next volatile subject. 8.3, Supplemental Capital Expenditure and Draft Cost Sharing Agreement between CV San and Oraloma for the Digester Rehab Project. Mr. Dang, I know that we each have a copy of that agreement in our fat little hands. Sorry, it's late and I'm tired.
Tell me what you really think.
And Director Duncan, I don't think anybody would blame you if it hits 11 o'clock and you leave the meeting. Because are you done in Washington? Are you on your way home? Or are you meetings tomorrow?
Yeah, I've been done in Washington. Today I was done. But
you can sleep in tomorrow morning.
Yeah, let me see what else on the agenda. I'm trying to balance my mind.
It's all right.
Let me just hear this next item. And
that's fine. You can stay for the whole meeting. I was just sort of trying to give you permission, but Mr. Dang?
Yes, so as the board knows, we have in our budget to rehab our existing digester facilities. Part of that capital project is to provide solids thickening pre-digestion so that we can remove as much water as possible so that we can reduce the amount of digesters we actually need to construct. That was broken up into two phases. One is for just the pre-thickening, and then the actual construction of digesters will be in phase two. With most what we categorize as large capital improvements, we have generally entered into a separate cost share agreement with CV San, being that they pay for 25% of the treatment plant O&M and capital costs. The agreement has gone back and forth several times between me and the general manager at CV San. It was very standard. It mimicked past prior agreements with cost share. Typically, they are concerned with an off-ramp. For example, say a project is going to cost $5 million, and they want to make sure that bids coming at, say, something astronomical like $10 million or something, that they have the ability to say, okay, we don't agree to this bid. We need to figure something else different because we can't absorb that kind of cost. So what we typically do in these agreements is we put in an off-ramp dollar amount. So you'll see in there for phase one, their off-ramp is, this is on page, sorry, okay, page 104. That for phase one, their off-ramp would be 2.6 million. That's their share. And then for phase two, it would be 7.8 million. There's no, not necessarily an argument or any issue there per se. The part that gets more interesting is something that has been discussed amongst our board and Cache Valley's board in the past, probably before some of us have been here. And what that is that they want a master plan of the treatment plant. We have plentiful studies, tech memos that we produce that summarize the capacity of our treatment plant, what the future looks like with our treatment plant, and so forth. But they want that in a bound, what we call in our industry, a master plan. What is happening with the district's facilities as far as the treatment plant goes? And they want it narrated. They want it in a bound binder, a document. So they're asking that language to be included in this agreement, including the fact that we need to get it done before, basically within 2 years. I can tell you that master plans can take a lot longer than that. But there was substantial discussion in the construction committee about this. And the discussion revolved around producing some type of master plan, maybe not necessarily a full-blown master plan, but maybe something that more looks at all the existing studies that we have now and kind of summarizes what we've already produced over the many, many decades. There was comments about, you know, making sure there's no fluff in it, making sure that it's just useful information that's produced in this master plan, which inherently would result in a less expensive document as opposed to a full-blown master plan. So today, the question to the board is whether or not the board will support CV San's request to produce a master plan for both districts. And then to whether or not the board agrees to this cost-sharing agreement.
Before we begin, can I just ask you if you have any conceptual idea of what a master plan would cost and whether Castro Valley would have to pay a portion of that?
Castro, so I'll answer the second question first. They would have to pay for 25% of it per the master agreement that we have with them since, was it 1975? As far as cost goes, that really depends. It depends on agency size, depends on what the size of the master plan looks like, how many studies, how much time the consultant has to spend understanding the client's facilities. So it can really range. I've seen them anywhere from $300,000 up to $1 million. But again, that's a real wide range. Someone like a large agency like Contra Costa Water or East Bay Mud or one of those large ones would have a much more expensive plan that we would have here. So I don't have an exact cost for you, but that would be a range that I would suspect.
Well, one thing that I thought that was important that we discussed in the meeting is one thing that I thought was important that we discussed at the construction committee was our new engineering team that we have and whether or not this would be a good thing for them. So maybe you could speak a little bit about that, or is our engineer?
He's online.
I just feel like, you know, I get it. You don't want to make something if you don't really need it, but maybe it is a good practice for us since we have such a new engineering team. I don't know. Maybe you could speak to that, or
yeah, I'm not suggesting we don't do it.
Okay.
I'm just presenting what was discussed in that meeting.
Could you speak a little bit about?
Yeah. So there was a comment.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. There was a comment made by a CV San board member, which is we have a new district engineer here and there would be a good opportunity for him to run the master plan, to work with the consultant and develop this master plan and put his own vision on it as well, and what he sees the district could, what direction the district could be going in. So that was the comment that was made.
My thought is I as
I can't hear you.
But I do agree.
I still can't hear you.
Hold on.
Back off.
See the red
back
light.
Away from it.
No, the red light.
Just a foot away.
One.
You're muted. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I agree that a comprehensive plan to tie together all the technical documents will be helpful. I understand a few years ago, Castro Valley asked the same thing, and the district gave them a bunch of tech memos that we had already prepared. But it was not, there was no summary document that can pull them all together. I think that's what we need, a summary document to pull them all together. Now, you could call it a master plan. However, I recommend we, and I've seen these plans, I've worked on them before, I've managed consultants with them, and they can be very fluffy, meaning very glossy, lots of pictures and diagrams and verbiage. Cut the fluff. That's what I'm recommending, and I think Castro Valley agreed with that. We want to get to the meat and the bones of the matter to make sure that we understand how our plant works and looking out decades in the future on what we envision. We just don't want to, oops, 10 years from now that we miss something. That's the key. So I think there's a streamlined version out there, maybe hopefully less than the numbers that Jimmy's giving. And Jimmy, my understanding is could prepare a scope of work that could describe meat and bones, exactly what do we want without all the fluff. So I support that concept. It sounded like Castro Valley was open to that in the meeting. And my second comment would be, Director Young or President, you brought up a good point about what is the cost sharing on this. If this is a new cost sharing agreement and they really want this and we don't, I mean, it'd be nice to have, but we're not pushing for it. Perhaps we can renegotiate just this portion and they pay more than 25%. Just throwing it out there.
You know, on the cost to produce the plant.
Yes.
Right.
So that's an option out there. And I also think there was some flexibility too on the timing, because our engineer is new, our district engineer, and staffing, and give us more time, Castro Valley, to get this done.
And we did ask Castro Valley if they would be okay, if the board decided to be okay with producing a master plan, if we can tie it into the next budget cycle so that we can plan the work. And they seemed okay with that.
Thank you, Director Simon. Director Duncan?
I have an issue with master plans. And so, I mean, because typically they go on the shelf and nobody references it. I'm of the mind that if we develop, you know, what you want to call a master plan, but it's a living document and it's something that, you know, we update or we, based on new processes or new equipment, that master plan gets adjusted, I'm okay with that. But I don't believe in, we look at this once and it's all done. I believe in any planning document that it should be a living document. And I also would support, you know, sharing half of the cost of it. And if CV San is not willing to do that, then I think we need to go back to the drawing board. So that's my 5 cents.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments, Director Lee.
So the master plan can cost anywhere from $300,000 to up to $1 million, and then possibly we're looking at the cost sharing. It sounds like they always want to have an off ramp. If it's $300,000, that's almost 1% of our budget. It's $1 million. It's roughly about 3% of our budget. That means we're giving up something for that. If there's value for the long term, you know, definitely it's something that I would support. I would defer to staff on it. I wouldn't want to make a decision just based off the fact that we're spending upwards of 3% of our budget, because that 3% could be used for something that's really critical for the plant. So I'm right now really indecisive because I don't have enough details in terms of what we're giving up to possibly spend up to 3%. You know, it's 1% to 3% of our budget that we're really talking about.
My turn. Thank you, Fred. So Director Duncan and I have sat through these meetings before with Castro Valley wanting a master plan many times in the past. Not only do I have a concern about cost, I'm not sure why they don't feel that funds 40 and 45 meet that requirement, because that's our living document that plans all of our events, all of our plans and projects on a regular basis. If we could end up, what is that noise I keep hearing? Does anybody know? If we could do a modified version of a master plan that Director Simon recommended, I would be in support of that if we could control Fund 40 and 45 as part of that living document. I also agree with Rita. I think it has to be a living document. I've seen master plans sit on the shelf for years, and I don't think they're very useful. I think Chatu is a very experienced engineer and has every conceivable knowledge of how waste and sewer companies operate. And I'm not sure that will be necessarily a bad thing for him to get involved with some sort of a modified master plan. But I'd like to see a modified plan. I'm not sure that I'm in favor of doing a full-blown master plan, but I do think whatever we do has to be done in our next budget cycle, as opposed to now. We've put so much extra work on our staff the last 3 or 4 months. I don't know how they have time to breathe. But again, this would, any kind of a master plan, even a modified one, would require hiring an outside consultant. Chatu has enough to do just to learn where we are on a daily basis. Nice to still have you on board, Chatu. You think, sure you want to stay?
Glad to be part of the team.
No. You're glad to be part of the team. Well, now you know what these meetings are like. So those are my comments. You had another comment, Director Simon?
Yeah, just one approach could be also that we put a cap on the amount of money that we're willing to spend on this master plan whenever we come up with it. So it's 100,000, 50,000, whatever number we come up with. And Anik, another option we could do, and I've seen this before, if we already have a bunch of tech memos that are out there, the work's already done, we just need to pull it together and synthesize it and create another tech memo, but it's a summary tech memo. So this can be, doesn't have to be like a master plan, but we just want a summary document that compiles and pulls together all the information. So there's,
and I like modified master plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that
yeah.
language says it all.
I think we can keep this simple and meet their needs of Castro Valley.
Right. Thank you. Director Duncan, you have another comment?
Yeah, I do. My other comment is going to be similar to what Director Lee said. I cannot support this unless I know some real numbers. We're just throwing out numbers, but if we could get some real numbers, then I could perhaps make a informed decision about it. And I also would recommend us getting, if it's okay for us to do a modified plan from Castro Valley, because they may not agree to what we're recommending. And then my other question is, if we decide not to do this, you know, even go into a master plan or modify, What is the repercussions from CV San?
I think the repercussion is we'd have to pay for the entire thing. Is that correct?
And how much money is that?
Oh, it's a bunch.
That, assuming the 25-75 split for the phase two, it would be an additional, almost additional $8 million.
And we're saying that we need to spend $3 million for a master plan?
No.
No.
Anywhere between
300,000 and a million.
Correct.
That's ridiculous. Okay. Anyway, I'm glad we're not voting tonight.
Oh, we're not being required to vote on this tonight, Mr. Deng.
Staff was hoping to look for some direction that we can provide.
Oh, direction, yes.
CV San, but also have our attorney look at this as well before it goes back.
Well, what I was thinking was if we put it off long enough, it would have to be in next year's budget.
Well, the other part is we're going into bidding the phase one project now.
Of course.
And
we need
without the agreement, they can say, well, we don't have to pay for any of it.
Okay, so I'm hearing, Director Simon, yes, I was going to try to summarize.
Okay, I mean, an idea to move it along, because my understanding, Jimmy, is you've got the tech memos. We understand how our plant works and what our plans are for the future. So we don't have to redo any work. We just have to synthesize it and pull it together. So can we present that to them, what we've talked about, and Jimmy, can you work on getting a cost from a consultant to do that? I'm thinking it could be way less than $300,000 to a million. I'm talking like 100 grand to do this. And can you do that and come back to the board and get a scope and say, yeah, 100 grand. And then,
you know, Castro Valley has seen those tech memos several times.
Yeah, they've seen it.
It started around 2014.
And I think they also want our district engineer to be involved with it too. I did hear that. They want him to be comfortable with it and understand it. So that's my recommendation, is Jimmy, come back to us with a modified version and a cost within the 100,000 range-ish.
What I can do is talk to several consultants and ask them what a ballpark figure would be based on me explaining to them what kind of scope I'm looking for, which is, to your point, summarizing our tech memos, and we'll see what they say. However, I would add that in this agreement, as it's written, it says that that has to be mutually agreed upon by Castro Valley as well. So even the scope they have, so.
Right.
So you're asking staff to go seek budgetary numbers ahead of talking to Castro Valley about what that scope could look like?
Concurrently, bring it to construction at the same time.
Okay. I do want to also remind you that they did make a comment in there that it was only their opinion, not the entire board, in the construction committee meeting. They said that they felt this way about it, but they weren't speaking for their entire board.
Okay.
Just the whole discussion. Right.
Because I spoke to
Go ahead.
I spoke to two board members, and they thought that, without saying names, that their members were requesting too much.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it.
So what I'm hearing and what I think I can summarize is that this board is interested in a modified, what the heck am I talking about? Modified master plan, which would include the tech documents we already have, and you will attempt, and quite frankly, using Fund 40 and 45 as an attachment, I think, certainly somehow you can incorporate the language, and then finding out what it might cost if we were to hire a consultant to synthesize all that information. Is that fair? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that make sense to everybody else?
And that is a living document.
I'm sorry. Yes, and we would like for it to be a living document.
Correct.
Okay, if that makes sense to you, it sort of makes sense to me. And I don't think there was any action required other than making some direction to the staff. So anybody else have anything more to add? If not, then thank you very much. A good discussion. We shall move on to the Authority Association reports, and there is only one, and that would be from me for the EBDA meeting. I will also point out, if I misrepresent anything, Director Simon appeared at the EBDA meeting as well as the alternate, I believe, for Fred, for Brian Azevedo, who has resigned his position. So the Financial Committee and the Board reviewed the basic statements, disbursements, treasurer's reports, and recommended approvals. We also discussed the insurance program and pooled liability deductible with no changes. And lastly, and one that you're interested in, we discussed the upcoming biosolid suitability assessment and increased the contract with H.T. Harvey by only $12,000 for additional sampling results and preparation for regulatory discussions. We're hoping this works out for everybody, but it will be a while before we get the final report. The O&M committee updated the committee on the Hayward Effluent Pump Station. I think you have in your agenda items someplace. I don't have it here in front of me. I have to scroll through. You can see that the the status report on the, I'm just looking for that. There are no major changes to the compliance data, which is included in your documents tonight. However, they are working with the City of Hayward on restoration of the power to SkyWest and the resumption on recycled water transfers. There was no water transfer, but I think Hayward is looking at bringing in not bottled water, but truck water, or trucking in water for the ponds. I know you were thinking about the ponds. I'm reading your mind. Personnel Committee reviewed clarifications regarding audiovisual requirements for remote meeting participation under AB 2449, and that is, in fact, if you appear pursuant to 2449, you must have your visual on the website. It cannot just be by voice. Also, EBDA recently joined the Alameda County Special District Association and appointed Angela Andrews from the Hayward City Council as the new representative. I think that's you, Rita, making that noise. And the commission also welcomed a new employee, a new administrative assistant named Karen Lee. And that is the end of that report, unless you have questions. Anything to add, Fred? I pretty much covered it all. Okay. We shall move on to item 10.1, schools engagement report, February 26th. Mr. Dang.
Yeah, there's no report to be given today, only that we are currently on hold with the San Lorenzo Unified MOU until we have that discussion with the entire board scheduled for March 10th, per the board's direction.
Asked. We're getting there, Rita. We're on to staff report. I mean, on to staff and director comments. If you would like to say goodnight, we will let you. All right. 11.1, general manager's report.
Yes, this is just a preview of the monthly email that's going to be coming out in the next week. Topics that will be included is the Cargill pigging plan for the Shell pipeline and what that looks like. I'll explain all of that in the email. I'll also talk about the nutrients discussion that we had amongst the managers at EBDA and what that looks like going into the future. They want to announce that CWA San Francisco Bay Section officially announced that Oraloma won the Collections of the Year medium category a couple of weeks ago. And now we are moving to state. And they did ask us for an interview in March to see if we would hopefully be competitive in winning the state level award. The appraisal that the board asks staff to look into for potential property purchase will be available in about 4 to 5 weeks. So once I get that, I will definitely share it with the board. We're heavily getting into software study activities as far as identifying vendors and software packages out there that will make more sense for the district to use other than what we're using now for increased integration, transparency, and so forth. I'm doing a lot of research on SB 1440 as well. That's the requirement for large energy utilities to purchase renewable natural gas. There could be a potential lucrative revenue source there for the district to offset ratepayer rates. We are engaging, going after a cybersecurity grant for about $250,000 that could pay for future IT upgrades. And that's a preview of the more detailed monthly email you'll be seeing next week.
11.2 action items report.
Yes, so still, four things to add now. First is the Cargill. No action there right now. We'll hear more after their pigging plan once they're done with that. I do have a CAC memo that I'm providing the board in April. And as mentioned before, the food expenses audit will be provided to the board in March. And I've mentioned the appraisal already. That will come in about 5 weeks.
Right, what was the last one?
Appraisal, the property appraisal.
Got it. Okay.
No other items. Thank you.
Or to your emails. All right, then we'll move to item 11.3. Comments from staff and board. Any additional comments? Anything from you, Ms. Gonzalez, Ms. Patricia? Director Duncan, I'll start with you since you would like to leave us. You can turn on your mic.
Well, Director Simon was going to speak for me because I'm really fading here.
We could tell.
So, Director Simon, I sent him a note.
You okay?
I can't hear you.
So I said okay. So you texted him during our meeting?
No, no. This was because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to.
Oh,
stay
I see.
Late.
Okay. Thank you very much. Then we'll move to Director Simon.
I have a fun three thumbs up item. I had sent taking nice pictures around. It's so beautiful. Just kind of like the idea of the sunset tour staff came up with. And in the early mornings, late in the evenings, I've been taking nice pictures of the plant and just in general around and talking to Director Duncan about it. And she said, hey, I have an idea. How about coming up with a concept to have a photo gallery program with the public? Love our bay and beauty of our district contest, where the residents or the constituents send in beautiful pictures from our service area. We could have quarterly photo contests to drive customers to our website and create a portable for participants to upload pictures to our website, and winners win $500. So want to get three thumbs up for this concept to engage our community more using the beauty in our community to our website.
To put it on the agenda to discuss.
To put on the agenda to discuss. Thank you. And this is Director Duncan's idea.
Yeah, thumbs up from Rita and Fred. Okay, so there's a majority to put it on the agenda to discuss. Okay. Yes, and more?
Thank you, staff.
And that's for me, so thank you.
Nothing for me. Okay, Director Dean?
Well, I have a couple of things. First, I wanted to, I don't know if I need a thumbs up for this, but I probably do. I wanted to ask...
Can you move the microphone down toward your mouth?
Yep. I wanted to once again ask about our social media posts. And I'm not sure if we need to take a look back at our communications plan. So, like for instance, and I'm not sure who's doing the posts and how often. I thought they were supposed to be done more often. I'm just going to give you for an example. I only saw two posts on Facebook about the meeting tonight
I didn't see any.
And I saw one 5 days ago, and I saw one 7 hours ago.
Well, of course, I don't look at Facebook.
So I just know that I've said a couple of times that, you know, we need to be in people's faces, and we know that that's how it works. And I believe our communications plan has some language in it. And so do I need a thumbs up to be able to speak about, for us to be able to talk about that as a team? I just.
Do we have a communications discussion coming up soon? Haven't you been posting, Patricia?
Yeah, we're posting actually more often than the plan says at this point, because of the districting initiatives, on top of all the other things that we're doing. And the two posts for the public hearing were actually a recommendation of Turner Communications Group, who is, you know, leading the outreach on this initiative. And so his direction was two posts per public hearing. We also shared it to 8 different community pages throughout the district: San Lorenzo, Fairview, Cherryland, Ashland, Hayward, San Leandro, on top of that. So that was our efforts there.
Does the board want to put this back on the agenda now, or shall we wait till we get an update about what's happening, what's been happening? I mean, when are we having another?
Well, there is like quarterly updates going to be coming before personnel, and then, you know, included in the minutes on the comms plan. So we're coming up on the end of Q1 in the end of March. So beginning of April, personnel will get the first quarterly report on the efforts of the comms plan.
Something totally different.
I want to hear all about the comps plan and how we're meeting it, because I feel like there's hardly any posts, and it just makes, you know.
Well, just heard there were 20. Perhaps they're not the same places that you go. I understand that you also post. You're reposting some of our Oraloma stuff, so that's good.
All the time, but I'm just shocked. So you're saying that Turner Communications should have been doing these posts? Is that what you're saying to me?
What I'm saying is that we posted twice because Turner Communications Group directed staff and said that two posts for each public hearing was the right cadence, per his professional opinion, on how Oraloma should be advertising the public hearings during this process.
In line with our communications plan?
This wasn't included in the communications plan. So the districting, this is like a whole different effort. So we're working alongside Matt with, you know, sometimes he provides a template and we review. Sometimes we provide him a template and he reviews for us. But the districting is not part of the comms plan. We didn't anticipate it.
Right.
And so, yes, we are still keeping up the cadence that was promised in the comms plan on social media posts. So, you know, like, we posted about the public hearing, and then we posted about Flush the Myth, Not the Wipes, the next day, because that is the ongoing communications plan's efforts, not the districting. This is on top of everything else without dropping any of the promised posts in the comms plan.
And we can't review that plan for a long time. All right.
Well,
so that's
we'll
just
get
one
a
thing.
Quarterly report, I think she said, in March or April. Yeah.
Okay. And then I think I would like to get a 3 thumbs up so we can have a deeper discussion about the things that I noticed about the F&I committee. You know, I noticed all kinds of things like...
So did Rita.
Do I need to list them?
No, you don't.
Okay. So I'd like to do a real deep dive into all the different items in the F&I report.
Got 5 eyes on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes.
President Young, without getting into a deep discussion, if we could just provide enough guidance to staff on what needs to be discussed for purposes of agendizing.
On a deeper discussion of what she wants to hear, we need to let her speak and she can tell you all the things she wants to talk about. Go ahead.
Okay. So the 16 hours a day or 14 hours a day working, who was trained, and if there was training done, how come the person that was trained still didn't know what was in the franchise agreement, specifically the school's agreement that they're supposed to be paying for the recycling services. If they don't have a program in place that's in compliance, they only get the free services after they've proven to have a program that's been in compliance and is monitored all the time. How come our new person didn't know that? How come we have the issue with the thing with our person, Perla, not understanding that part of the contract that she does 20 hours a week with the commercial and the multifamily, but the other 20 hours a week is at the board's discretion. How come that's not being understood or managed? And then I was seeing all this stuff on the credit cards. And I'm kind of curious about all these credit card expenses and, you know, what we're buying and where we're going to lunch. And so there's that. And then the other thing that Jimmy mentioned is the files that are so messed up. And I'm wondering why the files are so messed up. I don't understand who was supposed to be managing those files and why are they so messed up and who fixed them and are they fixed? So I think that's enough for now because that seems like a lot. Thank you.
You do need some help with your transfer.
Well, it seems like there's questions. Obviously, I understand what the direction is, what to agendize and what needs to be brought for the BTL Solutions invoice review. And then there's also talks of like credit card and lunch receipts. But is that in relation to BTL Solutions?
No, that's the F&I report because when
separate.
I. That's
yeah,
a separate
yes.
item.
But I just put it all together because it's all in the finance committee meeting.
Then, and going back to what General Manager Deng stated, that there's the food audit. So I'm not sure if that is happening. That information is being pulled together by our finance manager. So, and so I'm not sure if your request goes beyond that. I know you mentioned lunch on there. But is it just you want an agenda item to fully review and discuss credit card?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful for me to understand. Yes, thank you.
Welcome. Director Lee? I'm sorry, Mr. Deng?
There are three thumbs up on the record on that.
Yeah, you got three. You always get three. At least three. Director Lee?
Director Duncan, get some rest. And safe flight back. And I look forward to your readout, right, on what's happening in D.C. as well as national for CASA. Get some rest. And Erica, thank you for substituting for Alex. I hope Alex has a speedy recovery. You did a wonderful job this evening, and you clarified a number of things for us. And great meeting. We covered a lot of things, and I think we're going to get even better, right, with respect to our districting, right, because, you know, we're going to be facilitating more information, which, you know, it's for the public to consume this information and really work together with us to try to get this right. That's all.
Thank you. I don't have any, I'm not asking for thumbs up on anything. I'm just here. Rita, have safe travels home. Chatu, welcome to our second longest meeting of the year. Mr. Turner, if you're still online, thank you for your presentation. And this meeting is adjourned.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
Rita.
Safe travels.